them to sleep, performs some surgery, takes out a rib, and lo and behold, he has a woman who is made equal to Adam, but who's complementary, who's different. She's opposite to him. She's different to him. She's someone mysterious, someone who's going to be harder to get to know. What can we learn from that? Well, this is the key passage on marriage in the Bible. It's the prototype of marriage, and this is what all marriages are meant to be like. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have to be married if you want deep relationships. One of the things in the Bible is, and one of the things about Christianity is, it values singleness in a way which other views of the world don't. It's good, it's healthy to be single. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says, it's a really good thing to be single. Jesus is all our ultimate brother, our ultimate spouse, our ultimate friend. But I'm not going to talk about marriage now, because what I want to see is something broader. And the broader thing I want us to see is this. We only help people who are different to us. You know, if somebody is the same as us, we can't help them and they can't help us. You know, if my music standard is grade 3 piano, I'm not going to be able to help my sons do their piano practice when they're at grade 4. But they can help me. You can only help people who are different. People who are lacking something that you have got and you're lacking something that they've got. You know, it's great to have good friends who are similar to you. You know, I'm not saying that men shouldn't have friends with men and women shouldn't have friends with women. That's a good thing. But you also need to have good friends who are different than you are. People who are hard to get to know. People who see life differently. That takes harder work. It's harder work to build relationships with people who are not like you than people who agree with everything that you agree with and see life just as you see it. One of the wonderful things about St. Clement's here is that we are a diverse community. And you and I, we see stuff differently. And that's really healthy. Because church is one of the only places in life where there is a mixture of genders and a mixture of races and a mixture of ages and a mixture of statuses, all doing life in the same place. And if you want to grow as a person, if you want to reflect God, if you want to be who God made you to be, we need to be crossing divides and building those relationships. If you're married, are there single people you can build good relationships with? Because you need them in your life. If you're single, are there married people and families that you can build good relationships with? Because you need them in your life. Are there people in your life who are from a different racial background who you are doing life with? Are there people who are from a different social background? Are there people who are different ages? You know, one of the wonderful opportunities we have as a church is for us to have mothers and daughters and uncles and sons who are not biologically related, but who we can do life with. Or even grandfathers and grandmothers and grandsons and granddaughters. Are there people who you can build your life with who are different than you? Because we need that. The more diverse our relationships are, and the deeper our relationships are, the more that will help you reflect God in your life. So how can we do that? How can we get those sorts of relationships? Because relationships are hard. You know, some relationships are really hard and are abusive. But even the best relationships in our lives are messy. Husbands and wives who've been married for 40 years still fall out, even though they love each other. Best friends fall out and make up again and again. You know, and we're all, and so we swing on a continuum between knowing that we need really good relationships and wanting deep and diverse relationships in our lives, but then swinging back and for self-protection reasons, avoiding people, wanting to hide in a cave and be a hermit. So how can we do that? How can we build relationships well? How can we reorder our relationships? Well, in verse 25 of chapter 2, we're told that the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, were both naked and were not ashamed. What's that mean? Well, to be naked means to be transparent, to be vulnerable, to be open, to be clear so people can see you. And to be not ashamed means to have no sense of guilt. Adam and Eve didn't need to hide. They weren't afraid of exposure. You know, later on we're going to see that they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. But here we're told that they weren't ashamed. They didn't want to cover up. They weren't afraid of being seen. And they were like that because they were at ease with who they were. They were perfect. They were content with themselves. You know, the reason we struggle to build relationships and do community is because we're not content with who we are. We don't want people to see what we're really like because we fear that if they see what we're really like, they won't like us. They'll only like us if they see a nice impression of us, which we try and give. But if they do life with us too closely, they're going to see what we're really like, and they're not going to like us, and they're not going to want to be our friends. And so we cover up. We pretend. We're not able to be like Adam and Eve. We can't get vulnerable and naked with people and feel no shame. See, we all know there's something deeply wrong with us. There's always something deeply wrong when you have to cover up. When my daughter goes and hides behind the sofa and can't be seen and deliberately hides from mum and dad, it's because she's doing something she shouldn't. When you try and cover up, you know it's because there's something wrong. And we know the thing that's wrong is our sin. It's our flaws. You know that. You know that you don't measure up to your own standards, let alone the standards that other people have got, let alone the standards that God has got. You were made for relationships. But because of your sin, because of my sin, we struggle to build relationships. We can't expose ourselves. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is you need a helper who is fit for you. You need someone who can help you cover up. You need someone who can clothe you and take away your feeling of shame and guilt so that you can be open and vulnerable and transparent with God and with other people. And that helper is Jesus Christ. See, he's the ultimate helper. And when he went to the cross, he was made fit there to be the ultimate help. See, when Jesus went to the cross, what happened? Well, he was mocked. He was derided. He was spat upon. He was ridiculed. He was crucified. And when he was crucified naked and exposed. They even cast lots for his clothing. You see, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, died in shame. He died naked and guilty. Why did he do that? He did that for you. He did that to pay for your sins, to pay for your flaws. He did that so that you could be covered by his goodness and righteousness and life. You see, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took upon himself all your sins, all your brokenness, all your flaws. He took all those things that make you feel guilty and ashamed on himself. And as you look to him and put your trust in him, so you in return get all his goodness and righteousness and life. He's clothed on the cross with all your sin and muck and filth, and you get clothed with his righteousness and his goodness and his beauty and his holiness. You see, Jesus Christ, his nakedness on the cross is your clothing. His ugliness on the cross is your beauty. If you look to him, if you put your trust in him, then the moment you do that, God looks at you through him. He looks at you clothed in his righteousness, pure and holy, guilt-free, shame-free. He looks at you as the beautiful creation that he made you to be. Now, if you know that, if you know that's the way that God views you now, that God sees you as beautiful in Jesus Christ, as righteous in Jesus Christ, then that will give you power to build these deep and diverse relationships, which you and I find hard to do. Because you can enter those relationships naked and not ashamed. Because you won't be bothered if people see your flaws. You won't be bothered if people see your sins. You won't be bothered if people see those because you're not living for what other people think of you and other people's approval of you. Because you know that God sees you as beautiful. You've got all the approval and the love and acceptance you need from him. And so you can enter those relationships which are hard so that you can change. So that you can know yourself better, so that you can know God better, and you can help other people know themselves better and know God better. See, if you have the helper who is fit for you, Jesus Christ, then you'll be able to have those deep and diverse relationships that you were meant to have. And you'll be the person that God meant you to be. Let me pray. Father, you have made us for yourself, and you've made us have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, but you've also made us for each other, to have relationships with each other. Lord, help us not to run away from those, to hide, but Lord, help us to do life well in community, building with relationships with people who are different than us, building deep relationships with people that we might bear one another's burdens, help each other to change, and help us to grow into the people that you've made us to be. And help us to do that with Jesus Christ at the center, because it's only through him that we can be naked and not ashamed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.